Ephesus for God's cause?
The white parade.
Huh?
White parade parade.
Jews have to show that you support the state of Israel. The government's the United States government. They have to know.
Is that right? Who supports the parade?
Before I start to share, I wanted to say a little bit about Eretz Yisrael. This is the season of the year. Not too much, we're going to let a little bit tonight. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Avraham Avinu by the Brisbane Absurd that he's giving an Eretz Yisrael. So Avraham Avinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bama Hida Ki Roshen. So we mentioned every so often the end of Megillah says that Avraham Avinu's question was, what schus will I have the right, or my descendants have the right to hold the Eretz Yisrael? Stam giving me a matan, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers, Chol Yegnu Mishaleshes, and Rashi Kumish quotes from the Gemara of the Megillah, the schus HaKarbonos. That if you don't, if you live in Eretz Yisrael, you're not interested in building a Beis HaMikdosh, you're not interested in bringing Korbonos, so you have no right to the land. You only have a right to live in Eretz Yisrael if you believe in God, and you plan ultimately to build a Beis HaMikdosh there. Eretz Yisrael has different inyanim to it, different aspects. The one aspect simply is that Eretz Yisrael is a Chepta Shal Mitzvah. That's how Rav Soloveitchik used to say in a very dry sense. A Chepta Shal Mitzvah, like a lulav, like an estuary. A lulav and estuary doesn't have any kedusha all year long, but it's an object that gives you the ability to fulfill the mitzvah. So Eretz Yisrael is a place, rather than being an object, it's an area that gives you the opportunity of fulfilling the mitzvahs of Trumas and Maisvahs and Shemitah V'Yayivah. In that sense, it wouldn't have been given to us, Dafke and the Mashal. Every building that you live in gives you the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of Market. If you build a house, it gives you the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of Mezuzah. So all the buildings in the world belong to the Jews, because the Rabbi Shalom gave us all the buildings with which he can fulfill the mitzvah of Market and the mitzvah of Mezuzah. No, so just because Eretz Yisrael is a place where you can fulfill the mitzvah of Shumas and Maisus and Shemitah the other, doesn't mean it belongs to us. If you have a lulav and an esrog, you have to buy a lulav and an esrog. All the esrogim in the world belong to the Jews, and all the lulav and all the hadassim and all the aroros belong to the Jews, but anything that has to do with a mitzvah? Not necessarily. So if you pay for it, if you buy it, it's yours, and if you give it away, or it's taken away, so it's not yours, that's all. And so it's given to Avraham Avinu, to the Jewish people, because it's the Makom HaMikdosh. The Mishnah says in Maseches Kedushin, there are Eser Kedushin saints, there are 10 different levels of Kedusha. Ascending in order. So the first level of Kedusha is Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha as opposed to the rest of the world. And the Mishnah gives you what's the relevant significance of Kedusha Sa'aretz. Instead of saying that you mafresh Trumas and Maisus and you fulfill the mitzvah of Shemitah V'Yayivah, the Mishnah says that when you bring the two karbanas, the one karban on Pesach, or Minchas HaOmer, that's brought on the first day of Chavah on Pesach, second day of Pesach, and the one karban on Shavuos, and Yishtei HaLechem, also from grain. So these two karbanos, the Omer is from barley, from Seorim, and the Shtei Alechem and Shavuos is from wheat. These two karbanos, the barley and the wheat, have to have grown in Eretz Yisrael. If it grows in Chutz La'aretz, it's not acceptable for the mitzvah. So from all the dinim and Kol HaTorah, the Mishnah picks out such awkward dinim. Say, Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha as opposed to Chutz La'aretz, that you have Trumas and Maaseh Shemitah V'Yayivah, Leket Shikhot Peilah, the real stuff. Why didn't you pick on these obscure dinim that you can only bring barley and wheat for the purpose of the Yom, for the purpose of the Shtei Alechem, if it grew in Eretz Yisrael? So Menachem Zembe, in his commentary on that Mishnah, it appears in the Kuntres Oitzer HaSifra, Oitzer HaSifrei, has a commentary on the listing of the Eser Kedushas. So he explains what the Kavon is. That's what Rav Soloveitchik always used to say independently. That time, Menachem Zembe has the same view. Menachem Zembe was a great good. He was killed in the Warsaw Ghetto, in the war. Killed back around this time of the year. So the pshat that they give is the following, very interesting, that the Mishnah is not listing all the different kedushas that appear in the world in different mekomos, kedushas mokom. The Mishnah is listing off 10 levels of kedushas hamigdosh that exist. So the first, it says the ultimate level of kedusha is in the kedusha kadoshim bein shnei abadim. When you have the orin in between the bottom, it has more of a mokom kadosh than the rest of the kedusha kadosh. And then the Kodesh HaKadoshim going down more. Then the Kodesh HaKadoshim has more Kedusha than the Heicho. And the Heicho has more Kedusha than Bein Ve'ulam Olam Mizbeach. In between the Mizbeach and the Heicho has a lower level of Kedusha. Then the rest of the Azara has a lower level of Kedusha. And as you go down, descending, till it gives the Kedusha to Eretz Yisrael. So the Mishnah is implying that Eretz Yisrael has an extension of Kedusha Samigdosh. the highest level of Kedushas HaMikdash is Bein Shnei HaBadim, where if Moshe Rabbeinu would have been there, like in the days of the Midbar, the Shechina would speak to Moshe Rabbeinu. In the Aretz HaShem, the Dibay Bitchomi HaWakapur, the Bein Shnei HaBadim. The Mishnah has, there's a din in Halacha also, that Bein HaBadim has more, a higher level of Kedushas than the rest of the Kedushas HaMikdash. So the Mishnah is giving you the various levels of Kedushas HaMikdash that exist in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, has a level of Kedushas HaMikdash, has a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash. In addition to adding a Kedushas HaAretz, and in addition to being a Hefter Shal Mitzvah, with which you can a place where you can fulfill certain mitzvahs, and the rest of the world you can't, Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash. So it's that aspect of Eretz Yisrael that was given to Avraham Avinu. That's how the Gemara interprets the Pasuk. What's chus do I get Eretz Yisrael? Just because it's the holy land where you fulfill the mitzvahs. Atlias Baruch HaKadosh Baruch Hu said no. Chol Yegel Mishalesh is Vizchus HaKorbanos. That Eretz Yisrael has an aspect of Kedushas HaMikdash to it, and the indication that it has an aspect of Kedushas HaMikdash is given by the Mishnah. The Mishnah doesn't give you Eretz Yisrael Kedoshim Mikol HaRatzoi Shemechuyovim Bo Betrumus HaMaisis HaPelekit Shikopeyo V'Shmita B'Yoyvah. No, that's the Kedushas HaAretz and it's Chai V'Mitzvah Atlias Baruch and all the agricultural mitzvahs. The Mishnah doesn't mention that. Mishnah mentions only two obscure dinim, that for the purpose of the minchas ha'omer, the barley has to grow in Eretz Yisrael. For the purpose of the shtei alechem, the wheat has to grow in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, for the purpose of korbanim. For the purpose of korbanim, Eretz Yisrael has a kedusha that puts Lord doesn't have. Another aspect the Mishnah could have mentioned, but it's now no longer relevant is manazeh, the mechilta said, in the beginning of the very first mechilta, and Kul Nishmo says, that Mishavri Yisrael as Yarden, after the Israel crossed over the Yarden, and they were permitted to build the Boma and to bring Korbanos wherever they want, there was only a Hetter Boma in Eretz Yisrael. There wasn't a Hetter Boma Chutz La'aretz. You were only permitted to bring Korbanos in Eretz Yisrael. Then after Yerushalayim was chosen, then there's no longer any Hetter Boma. That's the Mishnah in the Gila, the first paragraph in the Gila, Rav Yud, Mishnifchar Yerushalayim, Ein Achrei Hetter. There's no longer a Hetter Boma. So the Mishnah could have mentioned, the Mishnah in Kalim that's trying to bring out a point that Eretz Yisrael has Kedushas HaMikdash in a certain extent, to a certain degree, could have mentioned that then also, that you can only have a Heter Bamos in Eretz Yisrael and not a Chutz La'aretz. But that would have been an ancient din that's no longer relevant as man as that. So the Mishnah gave you a din that's still Halacha L'maaseh, that the Omer and the Shtei Lechem have to grow Dafka in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara in Megillah on the last daf understands that the Eretz Yisrael that was given to Avraham Avinu was given because b'schus ha-karbonos, because that's the place to bring the karbonos. That's where the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built. So you only b'moida ki rashenu. What schus? B'schus ha-karbonos. If you want to live in Eretz Yisrael as a secular Jew, you don't plan to build the Beis HaMikdash to bring karbonos to Sora Kadosh Baruch Hu, then you have no right to the whole Eretz Yisrael. That's how the Gemara understands the parsha of the Beis Ben Hafsa. B'moida beis schus. Is b'schus ha-karbonos. Getting Eretz Yisrael itself constitutes an aschalta de gula. You have to know what gula is. What is the definition of gula? So the Ramban al-Chumash explains. We mentioned on different occasions. Ramban al-Chumash writes that Sefer Shmos is the Sefer ha-golus v'ha-gula he-meno. It tells about the golus Mitzrayim, and it ends off with the gula. How does it? The Ramban asks on himself, how does it end off with the gula? At the end of Sefer Shmos, they still didn't enter Eretz Yisrael. Even at the end of the Chumash, Moshe Rabbeinu dies, and they still didn't enter Eretz Yisrael. They only erst entered Eretz Yisrael in the days of Yishuv Benu. So Ramban says, that's not the Geula. The Geula is when you build the Beis HaMikdash. When the Beis HaMikdash is built, that is the Geula. So he says, that's why he describes the book of Shmos, a Sefer HaGolos, the HaGeula Emenu, because it has all about the Golos. And it ends up with the building of the Mishkan. That's the Geula. That was a Hayru Ashor, that you can have a Mishkan, a Beis HaMikdash, floating around the Chutz La'aretz. The Din L'Doris is that you can't build a Beis HaMikdash on Chutz La'aretz. Din L'Doris is that Gimel Mitzvahs in Tav Yisrael, the Chnisosim La'aretz, when the Jewish people come into Eretz Yisrael, not when they're traveling in Chutz La'aretz, they're going to build. They build a Mikdash Miyat, they build Bati Kemesius, the Bati Midrashas, that's a partial mitzvah, the Rambam and the Yireyim and others, the Chachnisosim hold like that, many parts from Hol Ma'alocha, that building a shul and building a yeshiva in Chutz La'aretz, is a partial kima mitzvah on the level of deraisa. It's not the full kima of the Yosef Mikdash, but it's a partial kima mitzvah because all these batei kenesis, the batei midrash, and the bovel are mikdash meyat. But the full kima mitzvah of the Yosef Mikdash is to build the Beis HaMikdash in Eretz Yisrael, not to build the shul and the chutz la'aretz, but to build the yeshiva and chutz la'aretz. So the Gemara says that the building of the Mishkan, you had a Beis HaMikdash floating around the chutz la'aretz, that was only a Hayru Asho. But the din l'doros, that's the also le mikdash. They're traveling in the midbar. The Rabban Shalom tells them, make the mikdash. But the real mitzvah l'doros only is in Eretz Yisrael. And later it was determined by Kodesh Baruch, it's only in Yerushalayim. You can only fulfill the real mitzvah of the Beis HaKhira, the Beis HaLomim, the everlasting Beis HaMikdash, if you build it in the Beis in the Makam HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. So that's why the Gemara says the Gimel mitzvahs, the three mitzvahs, have to be fulfilled in order. First you have to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. Mitzvah number one is Lahamid Lahem Melech, to establish a king. And the Poskim point out, it's not Rabbi Kup said this, the Poskim point out Lahalocha D'Achreinim before they had anybody, before anybody lived in Eretz Yisrael. They point out the Ramban writes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs that it's Lav Davke Melech. It's either a Melech or a Shofet or whoever is in charge of the nation. It means to establish a government in Eretz Yisrael. To establish a government in Eretz Yisrael. And the Rambam also holds from that. People always quote, the Ramban says that mitzvah, Ramban says that it's a mitzvah, Yerishtem Oseh Yishavtem Bo. Ramban has in the end of the Sefer HaMitzvahs LaHaRambam, the Rambam tells you which are the Taryag mitzvahs. He says there are Reish Mem Ches mitzvahs, I say, 248 positive mitzvahs that you have to do, and Shin Samachai 365 Lois Eseh. He's doing that you're not permitted to violate. So the Rambam lists off what in his opinion are the Ramach mitzvahs and what in his opinion are the Shasah mitzvahs Lois Eseh. And the Ramban has a running commentary on his side of the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvahs where he disagrees with various details of that. In principle he agrees, come out with everything. But a couple of details here and there he disagrees. And then at the end of the section of all of the Minyan HaMitzvahs, the Mitzvahs essay, gives you a list of all of the Mitzvahs essay, Shehishmit HaRav, that the Rambam forgot to mention. At the end of the section of the Lois essay, he lists off what in his opinion are the Lavim that the Rambam forgot to list. So the Mitzvahs essay, Dalit, and the Hashmot is the fourth mitzvah. He had around 12 mitzvahs, I think. There's 12 mitzvahs essay that the Ramban, during the course of the Ramach mitzvahs essay, he knocked off 12. He said 12 things that the Rambam counts as mitzvahs he thinks should not be counted. Either they're wrong or they're subsumed under some other heading. He knocked off 12 mitzvahs. So he has to come up with another 12 in order that it should be Ramach mitzvahs essay. So he gives you the list of the 12 mitzvahs essay in his opinion, which is substitute for the 12 which Shesikil, which he knocked off, which he removed from the listing of the Ram. So mitzvah number four in the minion of the Ramban that he added on at the end is a mitzvah of the Yerishtem Oseh Yishavtem Bo, a mitzvah to go conquer Eretz Yisrael. So the Mefarshim discuss why the Rambam left out that mitzvah. The Rambam left out only one aspect of the mitzvah itself that you should have a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. That he counts. That's the mitzvah of Lahamad Lahem Melech. That's the mitzvah when the Jews live in Eretz Yisrael, they have to establish a Jewish government. It shouldn't be satisfied with the fact that they're living in Eretz Yisrael under the British or under the Turks or under the Catholics or under the Muslims or something. The Rambam also quotes that mitzvah. Minui Melech is one of the Reish Memchef mitzvahs that the Rambam had. The Rambam is even more extreme. He says there's a mitzvah to go organize a Haganah and go take the land away from the British and bump them off and get the land. And the Rambam doesn't count that as a mitzvah. He says maybe the Rambam holds that was only a Rosh Hashanah in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, and maybe the Rambam thinks no, it is a mitzvah of Doris, and he holds that it's counted under a different mitzvah, whatever. That's an issue about organizing a Jewish army before you get there to Israel, to organize an army to grab the land. But once you're living in Eretz Yisrael, then the Rambam also quotes it. That's the Gemara. The Rambam quotes that. Gimel mitzvah and Stari Yisrael. Bichnisos and Loretz, when they come to Eretz Yisrael, they have three mitzvahs. The first mitzvah is to establish a Jewish government. Laham and Lahem Melech. Second mitzvah is Lahakrizar Shal Amalek. And that was not yet taken care of. We cannot assume that Amalek has disappeared because the Gemara tells us, Rashi and Chumash quotes it, Kiyar al Kais Ko. Why does it say case? Why doesn't it say kisei? Why does it say ko? Why doesn't it say yudke vodke? The Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Psochim on Daf Benun. Ein Hashem shalom, ein kisei shalom, ashi koriz ar shalom molek. Until the war with Amalek will be taken care of, the shem yudke vodke will not be the miluo. And that's boile mazeh, the Gemara says, only like Moisa Mashiach, loy Hashem melech, loyomahu ye Hashem echod ishmerechod. Then you'll be yudke vodke. The people will say the shem yudke vodke. Today we don't use that shem because it's Ein Hashem Shalom, Ein Hakisei Shalom. So obviously Amalek has not yet been wiped out. That's what the Gemara says. In fact, the Mabit writes in his Sefer Beis Elokim, it's a classic Sefer on Hashkofa that the Yosameach quotes, many others quote from the Beis Elokim. So he writes that will there be any new mitzvahs that will have to fulfill in Moisa Mashiach? Is anything going to change? The Rambam says that one of the Yud Gimel Yikorim Amunah is that nothing is going to change. all the din ha-tera stay the same. He says, everything, absolutely everything is going to be the same. So he says, no, one din we know is going to change. It says in the Chumash that instead of having 6 ori mikvah, there are going to be 9 ori mikvah. That the Raman quotes, the Moshe HaMashiach, the Raman quotes in Hilchos Melachim, one din is going to change, as it says in the Chumash, and it never happened. So when is it going to be? So the Raman quotes from the Gemara and Makkos, and Elohein HaGolem, that it's going to be the Moshe HaMashiach. So that's one change. That's how the Ma'bit starts off. Then he says there's going to be another change. It's not really a change. We're going to have to fulfill the mitzvah of Mechiyah Samolek. It's not really a change. We had the mitzvah of Mechiyah Samolek was always with us. We just never fulfilled it fully. But obviously he's saying that we haven't yet fulfilled and it's going to have to be fulfilled in Moshe HaMashiach. Who is Amalek? Where is the Amalek? So they say B'Shem HaPchaim that Amalek is Lavdavke, those who are descendants genealogically from that nation that started up with the Jewish people when they left there to Mitzrayim as they were traveling in the Midrash. Chaim said any nation that's Lo Yori Elokim, that doesn't believe in God and has its position, as its hashkofe, to wipe out the Jewish people, so that's called Amalek. And the Gemara tells us that the Jewish people who live in Eretz Yisrael are called the Klal Yisrael. Those who don't live in Eretz Yisrael are also part of Klal Yisrael, but the main Klal Yisrael are those who live in Eretz Yisrael. So if you have a group of people who don't, Lo Yor Elokim people who don't have any religion, who have as their policy to wipe out the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael, that's called Amalek. So the Gemara tells us that this is the state that is going to be the talis of the 3 kiyumei hamitzvos. First, they're going to be established a government in Eretz Yisrael, a Jewish government. That's the first step. That's the haschola. And then there's going to be mechiyas hamolek. And then there's going to be binyan beis hamikdash. The Gemara says it has to be in that order. The Gemara learns that from Sukkah, it has to be in that order. I remember in 1967, after Machanet Sheshet Hayamim, so the Tzahal took over the area of the Mokam HaMikdash. So some of the rabbanim were tumbling then, maybe now that we have the Mokam HaMikdash, we have an obligation to build the Beis HaMikdash and to bring korbanos. So we don't have the ability to do it. There's nothing to discuss anyway. The Arabs are not willing to give us the opportunity to build. But remember, at that time, Rav Soloveitchik said that there's no mitzvah yet to build the Beis HaMikdash, because the Gemara in Sanhedrin, in a certain period, they rise from Sukkim. And the Raman quotes it, La'aloch and Hilchos Melachim, that you only build the Beis HaMikdash after Mechiyas HaMolek. That means after it's completely Sholem in Eretz Yisrael. But there was still tumbling after 1967. There's still tumbling at Ayom Hazeh. There is no peace, unfortunately. There is no peace. The Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be a Mokom Shalom. That's why in the beginning, David HaMelech had no half a minute to build the Beis HaMikdash. Until after, he conquered everything. He wiped out all of his enemies. And then he said, oh, now we have Shalom. So he wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash. And then Avi said, no, that you were too much of a man of war. Your son is going to be an Ish Shalom. His name is going to be Shlomo. It's going to be an Ishalim, it's chilos about Sofer, he was never involved in any wars. Not that there's anything, it's very unfortunate when you have to wage a war, but it's a mitzvah whenever you have to, so you have to wage the war. That's also one of the Taryag mitzvahs, to wage war when necessary. There's no mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah to go say Krishna, to go shake a boot, to go wage a war. It's not a mitzvah to go declare wars, but whenever you're in a situation where war is necessary, so it's a mitzvah to wage the war, not just to sit back and say Tillim. Half of the people have to say Tillim, and the other half of the people have to go do the fighting. Not that everybody should sit back and say Tillim, everybody should learn. The schus ha-learning, if the schus ha-tillim, the others will succeed in the war. But if no one's going to fight, so they're going to be mevatel mitzvah. It says, kisei tzelam ha-chom al-eivech, and the Rambam counts that as one of the Taryag mitzvahs. That when necessary, you have to wage war. So we're not so happy about war, no one in the world is happy about war. The Ribbono Shel Olam is not too thrilled about war, he doesn't like it either. But whenever it's necessary, so then it's a mitzvah to wage war. So the Gemara says that whenever there's, even though David HaMelech did a mitzvah, all the wars that he did were mitzvah, but still, since he was involved in war, he wasn't supposed to build a Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be built by a person who's mechilos about Seifoi and Ishol. So that's why the Navi told, God HaNavi told David HaMelech that his son Shlomo is going to be an Ishol. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said, even after you have the Mokom HaMikdash, even if there were no mosque there, even if there were no world pressure, even if there were no Arabs threatening anything, if you'll build the Beis HaMikdash. But if they're still tumbling about the borders of Eretz Yisrael, and they're still guerrilla, and they're still fighting, and they're still PLO tumbling about whether we have the right to remain in Eretz Yisrael, so there's no Shalom yet, so there's no Chiyuv to build the Beis HaMikdash. If you build it, it'll have the Kedusha. If you build it, you'll be Mekadosh, it'll have the Kedusha. But there's no Chiyuv. You don't have to go out of your way to build the Beis HaMikdash. You're not Mechuyav. The Gemara says you have to do everything in the proper order. first to establish a government, and that's what the Ramban writes in the Sefer HaMitzvot, Lav Davka Melech. He's either a Melech or a Shofei or whoever, Misha Ha'om Biyodai, whoever is in charge, means a central government. It's a mitzvah to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael when the Jews lived it. Then a mitzvah to be Moicha Amalek. And if they wipe out Amalek, we assume that then it will be peaceful in Eretz Yisrael. So then is the final mitzvah, is the Gula Shlema is to build a Beis HaMikdash. So Ilu Zachinu, the Gemara talks about two possibilities of the Gula Hasidah occurring. The Gemara talks about the Ito, and the Gemara talks about Achishena. The Gemara quotes a passage from Navi, the Ito Achishena. So the Gemara said they mean two different things. What do I mean? The Gula will come in the right time, and I will hasten the Gula. Achishena, I will bring it Chishmeila, quickly. Is it going to come in the right time, whatever that time is? Or is it going to come quickly? So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, in Perek Chelek, the Gemara has a few dafim where they discuss Bias HaMashiach. So the Gemara says, if Zohu, if the Jewish people are worthy, that they keep mitzvahs and they do Maisim Tayyim and so on, then it's going to be Achashem. Kodesh Baruch will hasten the Gula. Gula, the Gemara tells the way they met Elio, one of the Chachomim met Elio Anovi, and they asked him, when is he coming? Masa Kosima. So he says, Hayoyim. Hayom, so he says, Hayom and Mikolos Ishmo. If the Jewish people will keep all the mitzvahs of Torah, I come today to announce that Mashiach is going to be here tomorrow. The Gemara understands the pasuk at the end of Sefer Malachi. In the Shalach Lachem Eseli HaNavi Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem Agol Vaner. Literally, the Gemara in Eretz says, Elio HaNavi will come the day before Mashiach will appear and announce to the Sanhedrin in Yerushalayim that tomorrow Mashiach will appear. That's how the Gemara understands. So they asked Elio HaNavi, Masai Kosi Mar, when is he coming? So the Lubavitcher version is that the Baal Shem Tov had an Aliyas Neshama on the second day of Rosh Hashanah one year when he lived in Poland. And he asked, he also met Elio HaNavi, he asked him also the same question, Masa Yossi Mar. And Elio HaNavi gave him a different answer. Elio HaNavi gave him the answer, when you'll see straight Hasidus all over the world, Shiafutza Mainasecha Chutza, the Hasidus will be spread all over the world, then I will come. So that's why by the Hasidim they hold it, it's a big inyan to Fashpeit Hasidus, that's going to hasten the Yosam Mashiach. But the Gemara tells a different answer. The Gemara doesn't have this version of the Baal Shem. The Gemara says, one of the Tanoim met Elio HaNavi in the city Rome, Apispa Shalroimi, and he was a beggar hiding, sitting together with all the other beggars. And somehow he recognized that was Elio HaNavi. He asked him, when are you coming? So he says, Hayom. He says, Hayom? So let's go. So he says, Hayom and Bekodesh Shishmoh. The Jewish people will fulfill the mitzvahs. I'll come today and announce that Mashiach is coming tomorrow. That's what the Gemara says, that's Achishenu. If we'll fulfill the mitzvahs properly, if Zachu, it'll be Achishenu. And if Loi Zachu, and if the Jewish people are not worthy, then we'll have to wait to be Ito, whenever this man is Kavua. In the Pesukim in Daniel, it says in a very unclear fashion, when this man is. It says so unclearly that all of the tzaddikim in every generation tried to make a cheshbon. The Rambam made a cheshbon and it was wrong. When is Mashiach coming? When is the beef? And the Ramban made a cheshbon and everybody. And the Malbim made a cheshbon. All the cheshbonis were not always gehalt. So far, all the cheshbonis. The Vilna Gaon has it. They quote, the Vilna Gaon has a cheshbon is going to be another year and a half. You see? Maybe he'll be wrong. Maybe it'll be tomorrow. Maybe the beef will be tomorrow. But that's what Rabbi Kasha, Zechan of Racha, printed a gigantic book, Haskufag Dola, in which he printed supposedly a manuscript written by a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, where he quotes that he heard from the Rebbe, the Vilna Gaon, the correct interpretation of the Psukim in Sefer Daniel as the one Mashiach will appear, and he has a whole calculation, and according to his Cheshbon, something is going to happen in 1948. He makes the Cheshbon. Doesn't say Hakam Samadina, but he says that's going to be the beginning, and then Mashiach is going to be in 1989. I think that's pretty right. That's just, something like that. 1990, some kind of cheshbon. Okay, so we'll see. So the Gemara says that there are two zmanim. There's a zman of Beita and there's a zman of Achishena. And the Gemara explains there's a contradiction between various psukim as to what the nature of Bias HaMashiach will be like. In several psukim it describes Mashiach is going to come from heaven, from outer space. He's going to come fly, poof. And everything is going to be in a very supernatural fashion. Now the psukim described is going to be Ani, a humble man, a pasuk in Zechariah Perazon. Ani v'roichav al chamor is going to ride on a donkey, a plain person. So the Gemara says, how did the description shtim? The contradiction is going to be supernatural, is going to be v'derech hateva. So the Gemara answers, it depends. If it's going to be ibzochu, then it's going to be achishena, hasten, then it's going to be everything supernatural. If it's going to be be'ito, Then it's going to be a fashlep bezatbi, but then it's going to be bederach ha-teva. Nothing is going to be razzle-dazzle like that. And there's the famous Arachayim HaKodesh HaFumish, which the Hasidim all say over. It's there in Parshas Balak. The Chachamim have a tradition that in Parshas Balak, Bilam HaNovi was saying prophecy regarding Moshe HaMashiach. That's what the Rambam writes in several different places, that whoever doesn't believe in Bias HaMashiach, not only is he a kofer in Dibri Shar HaNevim, he's a kofer in the words Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaSholem, because we have a tradition, Ishmael Piyish, that the Psukim and Parshas Balak are referring to Bias HaMashiach. That Yisoyed and Amun appears in the Chumash. We say in Perek Chelek that we believe all the Yisoyed and Amun appear in Chumash, not Stam their Baal Peh. Everything appears in Chumash. One who believes in the Olam Abba and Chiyas HaMesim, but he doesn't believe Chiyas HaMesim in HaTorah, doesn't believe that Olam Abba says in Chumash, is also called an Apikurus. We believe that all the Yisoyed and Amun appear in Chumash. So Parshas Balak also has the Yisoyed of Bias HaMashiach appears there. So the Chachamim interpret the Pasuk. We have a tradition that the Pasuk Dorach Kechav Miyayin to become Shevet Nisrael is referring to Bias HaMashiach. So the Rechaim HaKodesh has on Chumash a famous comment. It was made famous by the Hasidim after the Zionists were interested in organizing a government in Eretz Yisrael, and they succeeded in organizing the government. So the Rechaim has the following passage, he has the following comment, that there are two Oifanim of Bias HaMashiach. He alludes to the Gemara. If it'll be Achishena, if it'll be Zochu, and it'll come in a hasty fashion, it'll all be Minash Shamayim, Mashiach is going to fly down from heaven. Then it's going to be Koichov, like a shooting star from heaven. And if it's going to be Cholila Loizachu, then it's not going to be Achishena, it won't come quickly. Then it's going to be Beito. Then it's going to be Bekom Shevet Meisrael. It won't be a shooting star from heaven. It's going to be a Shevet. Shevet is a Makel. Shevet is a government where they have to beat people up and break people's bones and break people's backs. And it's going to be Pashit, the people running the government. That's what our Chaim HaKadosh HaFumash writes. It's going to be low-level people running the government. It's not going to be the Vad Matz, it's going to be right away appointed as the Rosh HaMemshala. So it's going to take, if it would have been Zochu, then it would have been right away Rav Leizer Shach, right away somebody else, I don't know, Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook. But if it's Loi Zochu, so it's going to be Poshit to people running the government. It's going to be not going to be a Koichov, it's not going to be a shooting star. It's going to be Vederach HaTov, it's going to be Shevet, and he claims that the word Shevet means Poshit to people who club brothers with their sticks. So we obviously were Loi Zochu. We weren't Zoyche. So we didn't have the Achishena, but we have the Haskalta de Gula. Haskalta de Gula means we have step number one from the three steps. The Gemara tells us what the three steps are. I'm not making it up. The Gemara says the first step is Lahamad Lahem Melech, to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. Nobody can deny that that's what it is now. And even if we feel that the government is not observant enough, it's not religious enough, and the religious people are unhappy, and they're very unhappy, but we should all keep in mind that the non-observant people are much more unhappy with the government than Eretz Yisrael. They hold that it's too religious. They hold that it's too observant, that they support the yeshivas too much, and they support the Shabbos too much, and kashrus and the yom, and everything. The non-observant people are not going on aliyah, derech klal. More religious people are going on aliyah. And the Yoridim, there are many more non-observant people among the Yoridim than there are observant people. So obviously the non-religious people are more unhappy with the government. So relatively speaking, we are satisfied with the government. The religious people are more happy with the government than the non-observant people are. I am not happy, so the people in America are not so happy with the government here either. The people in England are not so happy with the government there either. So noch nicht Moshiach Zeit, Moshiach will come, then you'll have a government that everybody will be happy with. You never have a government that everybody's happy with. And as much unhappiness as we have with the Israeli government, and it hurts us very much, all the things that they do, there's much more unhappiness on the part of the non-observant people. But you can't say that it's not Aschalta de Gula. The Gemara tells us this is the Tahalit, this is the process. First step is Lahamad Lahamelach, to establish a Jewish government. That's a major breakthrough. And then, the Ritzayis Hashem, the Jews will have to fulfill the mitzvah of the Hachazara Shel Amalek. Obviously, there's going to be some Amalek, because the Gemara keeps on talking about Ein Hashem Shalom and Akisa Shalom. We have enough people there who want to wipe out the Jews. Some of them are religious in some sense or another, and others don't have any religion. So those who don't have any religion at all, those, I guess, will turn out to be the Amalek. As opposed to the Lo Yori Elokim, those who don't believe in any God, and they have as their policy to wipe out the Jewish people, they will be labeled as Amalek, and that will be the mitzvah when the time will come. That will be the mitzvah to wipe them out. Unfortunately, there is such a mitzvah that you have to wage war. And then ultimately, we will have to fulfill a mitzvah, Binyan Beis HaMikdash. But again, Eretz Yisrael was given to us not as the makom to fulfill the mitzvahs of Trumas and Maisis and Shemitah V'Yovel. that were the logic, we said then all the houses in the world should belong to us, because you can fulfill the market with every house, you can fulfill mezuzah with every house. All of the lulavim in the world should belong to the Jews, and all the esrogim in the world should belong to the Jews. Not true. There is no halakha that any and every object with which you can fulfill a mitzvah belongs to the Jewish people. Eretz Yisrael is a place to fulfill mitzvah. It's very nice. So if you buy a section in Eretz Yisrael, so you'll be able to fulfill the mitzvah. If you don't buy the area in Eretz Yisrael, so you won't be able to fulfill the mitzvah. Eretz Yisrael was given to Avraham Avinu by the Bris Ben Absorim, and yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bamo Eida, Beis Eschus. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, not Beschus HaMitzvah, it says, Beschus HaKarbonis, Kol Yegel Mishuleshes. You only have a right to Eretz Yisrael if you plan to build a Beis HaMikdash. In other words, to take over Eretz Yisrael in order to lead up to the Gula. That's the definition of Gula. That's what the Ramban says in the Chumash. That is the definition of Gula. So we certainly should rejoice. The Ramban says one of the Tariyat mitzvahs in the Torah, mitzvah deraisa l'doris. He has in the Hashmatis to the Minyan HaMitzvahs in the same place, I think mitzvah Yud Beis. He has 12 mitzvahs that the Ramban left out. So one of the Minyan HaMitzvahs is to celebrate when you build the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why the Achrayim say, why do we celebrate when we build the shul? Stop. Stop, you make a party. Fundraising function. You make a party. Says no. The Achrayim say no. Since a Beis HaKnesses is a Mikdash Miyad. And the Rabban says that there's a mitzvah deraisa, one of the Tayag mitzvahs, to celebrate Bishas, Hanukkah, HaMikdash, when you build a Beis HaMikdash, or it's a mitzvah to celebrate also when you build a Mikdash Miyad. That's what Achrayim say, Lalochot. And many hold that it's a mitzvah deraisa, just like building a Beis HaKnesses or building a Beis HaMedrash in Yeshiva and Chutz Lord is a Mikdash Miyad. And some hold that. And some hold on a level of deraisa, and it's a partial kiyum mitzvah v'yaseli mikdash. The Mishnah Berurah quotes that. Dir alochan, it was Beis HaKnesses. He wants to say that it's a partial mitzvah, partial kiyum mitzvah on a level of deraisa to build a shul or yeshiva or chutzlort. The mitzvah v'yaseli mikdash. So too, it's a partial kiyum mitzvah of Chanukah samikdash when you build a yeshiva or you build a shul to celebrate Bishas HaChanukah. And not only is it a mitzvah, the way the Ramban says, not only is it a mitzvah to celebrate on the occasion of building the Beis HaMikdash, it's a mitzvah to celebrate on the occasion of something occurring which is an aschal to the Gula. He said on many times, on many different occasions, that the Nesivis in his commentary on the Megillas Esther says this, is a mitzvah to celebrate when you have an aschal to the Gula, when the Gula begins. An aschal to the Gula is when you have a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara says a similar double. What's the aschal to the Gula? The Gemara says Melchames. When there's wars in Eretz Yisrael, that's Aschal to the Gula. That's exactly what happened. On Heir, when they established the government, right away, this both by Yom, the same day the Arabs were fighting, they didn't want to let the Jews have a government. That's exactly what the Gemara says in the Gula. Melchomas are Aschal to the Gula. So the beginning of the war, not the success in winning the Melchemet HaShechrua. The beginning of the war is the Aschal to the Gula. The establishment of the Medina and the breaking out of the war is what the Gemara considers Aschal to the Gula. And the Nesivah says that's an occasion for rejoicing. And not just on that day. On the first day when they established it, the Jews were singing and dancing all over the world. I remember as a little boy, I lived in Philadelphia at that time. So I remember, I think it was the Sunday right after. It was on Friday they established the Medina, and Heir was on Shabbos, and they signed this declaration on Friday, not Munchal Shabbos. Even though most of them were not observant at all. Most of the people were signing were not religious. I remember on that Sunday, I used to live on a street that was a main thoroughfare. A lot of cars used to go from a big highway that led from New Jersey to Philadelphia, from over the bridge into Philadelphia. So there were a lot of cars traveling to go from one highway to another. So I remember there were cars, but his mother used to have American flags, all kinds of flags. So one car had a Morgan Dovenan. So he asked my father, what kind of flag is that? So he told me to just establish new Medina, and this guy already had a flag. The first Sunday after HaKamas HaMedina, this guy was driving in a car with an Israeli flag. They must have manufactured them in advance. Right away, he already had a flag. So the Gemara tells us not only is there an Indian to celebrate on the occasion of Binyan Beis HaMikdash, on the occasion of Aschal to the Gula, we celebrate every year in commemoration of this. That's exactly what Purim is all about. That's what the Nesivis explains in his commentary on Megillas Esther. Purim was before the Binyan Bayis Sheni. It was the Aschalt of the Gula, the Chachamim in our generation saw Beruach HaKodesh that this Nes Purim is going to lead up to the Binyan Bayis Sheni. So therefore they felt that they had the right to establish a Yontif, and that every year, every consequent year, we celebrate in commemoration of that Aschalt of the Gula. Today you don't have to have anybody with Beruach HaKodesh to tell you. The Gemara tells you that this Aschalt of the Gula, that the Nes Purim should lead up to Binyan Bayis Sheni, that they had people with Ruach HaKodesh. But if you establish a government in Eretz Yisrael, and the Arabs start right away to fight a war, that's what the Gemara tells you. The Gemara had the Ruach HaKodesh. The Gemara says, the Gimel mitzvahs that lead up to Binyan Beis HaMikdash, this is the Gula, are establishing a government, L'hachazara Shalom Malach, and Livnas Beis HaBchira. And then the Gemara says, when you establish a government, then there's going to be Mohammeds. It's understandable. The Arabs don't want the Jews to have a government. So the Gemara tells you that that's the Aschalt of the Gula. So you don't need people with Ruach HaKodesh. The only taina that so many Rabbonim had, the Chazon Ish and the Chazon Ish's brother, the Stifler was such a famous person, and the Brisk Gerob, so many others that were so opposed to celebrating Yom HaTzmut, was for a different reason. They know this whole Cheshmen. The Stifler writes in his, they printed recently, the Stifler passed away a few years ago. When was it? 3.5 years ago, in the summertime. So he passed away. So after he died, one of his relatives, one of his grandsons, I think, collected various letters of his, and he put it up. It's called Kreina de Yigart. Interesting title. Kreina de Yigart. So they have a collection of letters on various topics. So the one of the letters had the following. Somebody asked the Stifler whether it's proper to celebrate Yom HaTzmaut, because he looked in the Shulchan Aruch and he didn't find anything about Yom HaTzmaut, so he was wondering whether he should celebrate. So the Stifler writes, I also looked in Shulchan Aruch on different occasions and I never found it. So obviously, you don't have to celebrate. What kind of a funny reason is that? How is he going to find the... So then he writes in the next paragraph, he writes what's bothering him. A different thing. He knows the whole Cheshmen, the Aschalt of the Gula. He's not going to deny the Gemara. He's not going to deny the facts. He's going to say it's not a Jewish government and so on. He's going to say it's not a religious government. Shamir is going to be the first one to say that he's not religious. He doesn't claim that he's religious. None of them claim that they're religious. They're not fooling us. They say they're anti-religious. But they don't say they're not Jewish. All the Ummah Sodom know that it's a Jewish country now. So it's a Jewish government. Leis Man de Palik. Everybody knows that. Stifler has a different taina. That's the issue. The Gemara tells us when you make a new takana, all new takanas have to be instituted l'shmo, l'shem Shemayim. If the one who institutes a new takana or a new minig, even if it's a beautiful idea that represents a lofty kavana, but if it's instituted shaloi l'shmo, then you're not permitted to observe that takana. And this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. This is quoted in Yeridei, that the Achreinim on the side of the Yeridei, right, based on Gemara. They wanted to compose B'lam al-Shinim, they wanted to compose the Bracha B'lam al-Shinim, the curse, the Apikursim, so they had to have a person who was a mild person. They had to get Shmuel HaKotim, who was a very mild person. Some people who enjoy cursing everybody. They curse and they fight and they scream and they make machos and they make, they're always tumult. So they didn't want a person like that, that he should compose with a malshina. They had to get a person who was so arayz giton from kine and sine and machloikis, they had to get Shmuel HaKotim for such a tzaddik. He always would say, b'nefolo yifra al pismo. That's how the Gemara tells us. He was such a heilig tzaddik, he never had anything in against anybody. So they had him compose a nusach of a malshina that it should be composed with Shem Shemayim. And the same is true regarding any takana. It says in Yeridei that if an Odom Rosha institutes a takana, even if the takana is a very good takana, you're not allowed to observe that minute. You're not allowed to observe that takana. Because since he was an Odom Rosha, we assume that it wasn't instituted in the Shem Shemayim. Even though it's a very nice idea. So here, many of the tzaddikim, many of the goyim in Eretz Yisrael felt that all of those rabbonim from the Mizrahi who recommended that we should celebrate Yom HaTzmaut and so on, they felt that these people weren't doing it the Shem Shemayim. That they were so carried away with their feelings about Zionism and about Medinas Israel that they felt that even the Jewish religion has to bow down to the Zionist ideal, which is a higher and a loftier ideal than everything in the world, even higher than the Jewish God, even higher than the Jewish religion. So we have to make a yontif of Yom HaTzmaut to show that even the religion bowed down in the presence of Zionists. So that was the understanding of many Gedolim. That's why the Stifler and the Chazon Ish and the Brisk Gerob were so opposed. They were all opposed to the government. No, nobody likes it. Everybody doesn't like the non-observant Jews running the government. We don't like it just as much as they don't like it. But they were opposed to celebrating these Yom HaTzmaut because they felt that the people who instituted them made them Shaloi Lishmo. And others feel that it's not so. That's a question of fact. Did the Rabbonim, when the Rabbonis HaRoshis, who instituted this notion of having a Yontav of Yom HaTzmud, did they make the Takana Shaloi Lishma? Did they make the Takana Lishma? So we know, my father knew one of the Rabbonim, the one they call him Avasa, Rabbi Shulman Baruch. He was the one who wrote the big tune. He was a great Goyen Abi, he was a Poki Nifla. Everybody asked him, Shalom, what should they do? There were so many others from the Rabbanas and Roshes who recommended that they should establish these. We're not talking about rabbis who are politicians, know a little bit how to learn. We're talking about great Goyne Hador, great Goyne Madirim. And these people felt that it's proper to establish a Yom Kippur. It's very hard to say that they did Shalom Lishma. We knew who these people were.
The government established it
as a secular day,
yeah.
Like July 4th, and then these rabbis felt that the religious Jews should celebrate it as a religious holiday, that it doesn't only have secular value. Uh-huh. Like the Jews in America celebrate July 4th as a national holiday of America, but not in the religious sense.
So
the rabbis of the Mizrahi felt that we should celebrate by adding on tefillahs and whatever, something. We should make some kind of a hecker on Yom HaTzmud, because they felt that it's a religious holiday as well. So it's hard to say. The stipler was convinced that they did it Shalom Lishma. They were convinced also that Rav Herzog didn't like tefillin. That he didn't daven. I remember Shmuel Soloveitchik, Rav Yoshe Ber's brother, the one who's the chemist in the yeshiva. He told us that he visited not only them. He said he visited his uncle, Rav Dovel in Eretz Yisrael. And he was talking about Rav Herzog, the Rav Rosh. He says they said he doesn't like tefillin. That Rav Dovel's children said in the presence of Rav Dovel, he doesn't like tzimtzum. What if he doesn't like tzimtzum? He saw him, he was waiting for him down. So his mumbling word is not done. So they were convinced that they weren't observant, that they didn't do anything in Shem Shema. But some of us were zeichet to know these people. People knew Rav Herzog. It was a holy tzaddik.
From the Shas in 60.
Yeah. People knew Rav Meshulam. People knew many other people. We're not talking about Rav Maimon. Rav Maimon was a Mizrahi rabbi. Okay, he was a Tanachot. I'm not talking about Rav Maimon. I'm talking about the big guns, the big Goyim and Adirim who established this as a yontif, as a religious yontif. It's very hard to say that they did Shalom Lishma. So lachari, if they did, if we assume that they did Lishma, so there's certainly no Easter in celebrating the yontif. Adirabbi, that's one of the mitzvahs in the Torah, according to the Ramban. That's one of the Taryag mitzvahs, to celebrate when you build a Beis HaMikdash, when you make an Aschalta de Gula. Mitzvah to live in Eretz Israel is in the Mishnah. It says the Ferish in the Mishnah in Ksuvah. The question is, why is it that for so many generations the Jews didn't fulfill the mitzvah? Even the biggest tzaddikim didn't bother to live in Eretz Israel. So different suggestions are given why. So one of the many suggestions is that the mitzvah only applies really in its fullness when Eretz Israel is in Jewish control. When it's not a Jewish government in Eretz Israel, then there's no mitzvah. So for so many years, Eretz Israel is not in a wasn't governed by Jews, wasn't a Jewish country, so there was no mitzvah. But the Pasuk says, they say based on the Pasuk, Rabbi Shula Kutin says, now they say, you should grab hold of the land, establish a Jewish government, and then Yishapkimbo, then you should live there. And if it's not in Jewish hands, then the real mitzvah B'Shleimus of living in Eretz doesn't apply. So the Mele, once you have, not because it's an Aschalta de Gula, but rather once you have a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, then that explanation falls off, and then you would have the mitzvah B'Shleimus to live in Eretz Yisrael. There's a din that if a person won't, the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is only if you're going to do something productive for the land. If a guy just going to go and live there on pension and retire there, so he's also not really fulfilling the mitzvah. Let's say if you move to Eretz Yisrael and you work on a kibbutz, work on a farm, or you move to Eretz Yisrael and you're in construction, you build houses, or you make highways. Or you move to Eretz Yisrael and you become a rov, or you become a teacher, or you do something productive in Eretz Yisrael, then you fulfill the mitzvah. So if you have somebody who's very productive in Chutz La'aretz, and he goes there, so it won't be so productive. He's more productive for the Jewish nation in Chutz La'aretz than Eretz Yisrael. So then some say that it's a bigger mitzvah for him to stay in Chutz La'aretz. But many people, if they go to Eretz Yisrael, they'll be just as productive, if not more, than they are in Chutz La'aretz. So for them, it's talking about Eretz. All the Rabbanim in Chutz La'aretz talk it into themselves that they're all indispensable here. That if not for all these Rabbanim and Chutzlars, the whole Judaism would come to an end. But supposed to be a German expression that says that the cemetery is full of indispensable
things.
Yeah. So that's the question. How indispensable were they? Rav Kook prepared for Rav Chaim Oizer to come there to Israel and brought him home. And then the last minute he backed out and he sent him a letter that's printed. He said that he was convinced by the other rabbanim that if he would leave Europe, it would be a great loss to the Jewish community. So even though he wants very much to move there to Israel, he feels compelled to stay in Kutzlan. So that's the question. All the rabbis in America are so crucial to Judaism here in America as Rav Chaim Oizer was in Europe. Chaim Meiser was the central address for everything. He did everything. Everything was on his mind. The tzedakahs and the psokim and from all over the world to send him shaykh. So all the rabbanim of America feel apparently that they're so indispensable. No? If a person won't be able to make a parnas in Eretz Yisrael, then there's no mitzvah. But if a person has a job here, he goes to Eretz Yisrael, he won't have a job. And life will be utterly miserable. Also there's no mitzvah. But if life will not be so miserable, just make a few dollars less. Instead of making $150,000 a year, and make $60,000 a year, whatever. But I'll make ends meet. It's good felt. So then that's not an excuse. If I make $5,000 a year, and I'll be very poor, that's a good score.
What about what the sort of doctor writes that we made a promise that we wouldn't take care of Israel by force?
That's a valid point before the year 1948. That was a big machlokes that was going on in Europe, whether you're permitted to organize a Zionist movement to regain Eretz Yisrael or not. So maybe they did right in 1948, maybe they did wrong. Now it's lachar ha'maisa. Nothing to discuss now. What are you going to say now? We should give it away. Do not want to give it away. Until 1948, there was an issue whether he's supposed to fight or not. But once you have it, you have it. The Rekaita just keeps on. And the newspapers are so they call them. They are they identify themselves in the newspaper as the Jews, the Orthodox Jews who carry the footsteps of the patriarch. So the other Jews, there was a parade yesterday on Fifth Avenue, so all the other Jews on Fifth Avenue, they don't follow in the footsteps of the patriarch. So only those five people there. Yeah. You should know that one of the five people studied in YU. He's a Yekker. He lives in 50 Overlook Terrace. His parents are both Yekkes, and he sent him to YU, to high school, and YU makes everybody count him. So this kid, after graduating high school, went there to Israel. He fell in a mayor showroom. Now he wears long black stocks with a big kapelush, with a big white hat, and he looks like a realtor accountant with the long face, and when he takes off the black hat, you see the white yarmulke, the knitted white yarmulke that like the people wear. And he davens from his siddur and he shows everybody in Roya Shul. Shows you see, his siddur is printed. It was printed last year in Israel. Siddur was printed in occupied Palestine. That's what it says in his siddur. A daven from his siddur that's printed in occupied Palestine. So that's it. So one of the people who was demonstrating yesterday was, why are you going to Tokyo? They ruined him. And the other, also. So they advertise in the newspaper, the Turkai advertising. They're the ones who follow in the footsteps of the patriarchs. And they follow in the footsteps of Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai. That there was a fight between Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai and the Biryoni, the Jewish hoodlums, the Jewish gangsters, whether they should make peace with Vespasian, with the Romans or not, in the year 70. Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai representing all the Tanaim. He was the Rosh Hashanah, he was the chief rabbi. He said he wanted to give up. He wanted to make peace with the Romans, that they shouldn't kill him. And the Biryoni didn't want. So you see, they write that we follow in the footsteps of Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai, that they want to give away the whole Medina to the enemy, just like Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai gave it away. It's just one slight difference. Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai was willing to give up the surrender because they were fighting a losing battle. The Briyoni were fighting a losing battle, and there is no mitzvah in the Torah to fight a losing battle. If you see in advance that you're going to lose, and the din is, it's not going to be hurried by Yavar. Staying a free man is not from the gimel mitzvahs that you have to give up your life. The people in Matsada felt that they have to fight till the last minute, till every person is killed out by the enemy, that it's such an avera to surrender to the enemy, they have to fight till the last minute. And we say that the people of Matsada were wrong. That Rabbi Yechman Zaka is right, against the Briyan, against these Mishugans. Allah says that if you know that you're going to lose the war, so you surrender. And maybe they won't kill you. And they didn't. And they didn't kill Rabbi Yechman Zakkai. And they didn't kill all the Rabbanim and Yavna. And they let them have a yeshiva. And they let them learn. The Gemara says Rabbi Yechman Zakkai made a stupid mistake. The Gemara says that he should have asked that he shouldn't destroy the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away his seichel. Meishiv Chacham and Mocha V'dayit and Misachal. He made a stupid mistake. He should have asked for let them have the Beis HaMikdash. He made a mistake. Instead he said Teilei Yavna V'chach Mel. But the reason why he surrendered was because he knew in advance, which was true, that they were fighting a losing battle. Now, absolutely is no mitzvah to fight a losing battle. But if you're fighting a winning war, so then it's a mitzvah to fight a winning war. The only question is, are they winning or losing in Eretz Yisrael? That's another shock. So that you have to determine whether you feel that that's a winning war or a losing war, because they keep on losing more and more people. That's another shock. How do you determine whether it's winning or losing? But the halacha says if you're fighting a winning war, then you have to fight. Even if you're losing a lot of people, you have to fight in order to win. Every war you lose. That's halacha. Every war people are going to be killed in Derech HaTeva. You have to fight. So that's why it is a big mitzvah. The Gemara tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never appears to human beings as being sin. Always frail, always happy, always cheerful. The Gemara says, but what about there's another pasuk? You know, the first paragraph of Hagiga says, but there's another pasuk that says, the mistarim tivkanavshi, that the Rabbi Shalom cries. The Gemara says, yeah, that's the mistarim, that's privately he cries, but publicly he doesn't let anybody see that he cries. But it's both who hides his emotions, but he doesn't let people see that he's unhappy about the way things are running in the world. That's what the Gemara answers. Habibati gavoi, habibati baroi. In the inner chambers, he's crying with mistarim. And the outer chambers, he doesn't let on. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides, and he doesn't let people see that that he's unhappy about the fact that Rishoyim Amatzle. Then the Gemara asks, but there's a pasuk in Yeshaya that says that when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, when the first Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, the angels from heaven were crying, and the whole world knew that that the Ribbono Shel Olam was sad. There were outer simanim. It was visible. That's how the Gemara says it was visible. That the Ribbono Shel Olam said at the time of the Churban Beis Hamikdash. Gemara says, "Oh, Churban Beis Hamikdash, that's a different story." The Gemara says, "The whole Tachlis Bria Shemayim Be'aretz was that there should be a Beis Hamikdash." That's what the Gemara says. Why is it called Evan Shesia? Shemisham. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin in the second text, Shemisham Nishtas Kol Ha'Olam. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when He created the world, first He made this spot, and from there everything else expanded. The whole world expanded from the Evan Shesia. So the first spot that he built, that was the whole Tachlis Bria Shemayim Be'aretz. He wanted to have a Beis Hamikdash. That's how it says in the Sifri Kabbalah. Why did, a strange question, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the world? So one of the, they give two answers. The Baal HaTanya quotes from the Sifri Kabbalah. One answer that they give is, Bikash HaKadosh Baruch Hu li'es lo dira b'tachtani. He wanted to have a place to dwell in this world, and that's the Beis Hamikdash. So when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, and the whole Tachlis Bria Shemayim Be'aretz was wasted, everything came to nothing, as if the Rav Shalom created the world for no good purpose. So then there were visible symbols, outward symbols that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was said. And the Psukim say that Yismuch HaShemayim Yisrael HaHoretz V'yom HaRagayim Hashem Moloch L'Hosid Lohu, when the Beis Hamikdash will be rebuilt, then the whole Shemayim HaHoretz will be rejoicing. There will be outward symbols that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy. Why? What is the whole world going to be dancing and singing for? Because the whole Tachlis HaBriya will be fulfilled. The whole Tachlis HaBriya is to have a Beis Hamikdash. That's why it's an important mitzvah to celebrate when you build a Beis Hamikdash. That's time, that's a mitzvah, you shake a lulav, and you say Krishna every day, and you Beis Hamikdash, and you celebrate. It's a gewaltige mitzvah. The Medrash says in the beginning of Shmini, Vahi, Vayom HaShmini is the same lashon, Vahi Yere, Vahi Vayke Yom Echo, Vahi Yere, Vahi Vayke Yom Sheni. Why does it say Vahi, Vayom HaShmini? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so happy when the Beis Hamikdash was built, like when He created the world. What's the connection? Because the whole Tachlis HaBriya was that there should be a Beis Hamikdash. And for all those years, since the days of Adam and Rishon, there was no Beis Hamikdash. Finally, Moshe Rabbeinu made the Beis Hamikdash, so the Tachlis HaBriya was fulfilled. And when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, so was outward symbols that he was saying. And Beis Hamikdash will be rebuilt, it will be outward symbols that he will be happy again, and the whole world will be rejoicing. So it's one of the major mitzvahs, not some, another mitzvah, you build a Beis Hamikdash and Yisameach. That's called the Gula Asidah. That is the definition of Gula. The Ramban says Gula means Binyan Beis Hamikdash. So when you have an Aschalt of the Gula, and then the Siva says that that's also room to celebrate. He says that's the Holy Yisrael HaYomtev of Purim. We are very happy on Purim. We rejoice an awful lot on Purim. So you're supposed to be Sameach Meod when you have the Aschalt of the Gula. Could have been a nicer Aschalt of the Gula. Could have been with a Truma government and everything. If it would have been Zoche, if the Jews would have been a little more observant, then it would have been Achishena, it would have been Min HaShemayim, it would have been Dorach Karechem Yad. It was, unfortunately, it was Loizofus, so we're not going to have, it doesn't look like there's going to be a supernatural gula, it's going to go in a very slow process, and it's going to be, instead of a Karechem, it's going to be a Shevet, and it's going to take a long time till the gula Asidah will be fulfilled, till it will be completed. But it's definitely room for celebration. Just because a person celebrates and he marches in the Israeli parade doesn't mean that he's happy with the Chil Shabbos and all the violations of the Torah HaKadosha that are going on in Eretz Yisrael. It means that he's happy that there's an Aschal to the Gula. Let's say in the days of Mordechai and Esther, they celebrated the Yom Kippur. They were happy that Esther was living with a goy. And she lived with that goy for a long time till the day that she died. She didn't get divorced from Ahasuerus. And she had a son with that goy, Artaxerxes. He was brought up as a sheik in Zgomer. Artaxerxes was the king. After his father, Ahasuerus, died, Artaxerxes took over the kingdom. He was not a religious fellow. He was a Jew, born from an intermarriage. Esther Hamalka. Esther was a tzaddikis. Hadassah. Hadassah means a tzaddikis. Esther Hamalka had to live with this goy. She had no prayer. Unfortunately, the Aschal of the Gula had a start in a very terrible fashion. But the Chachamim in that generation saw Baruch HaKadosh that was Aschal of the Gula. We don't need any Baruch HaKadosh. We see from the Gemara that this is Aschal of the Gula. So there's certainly room to celebrate. And just like then, when they celebrated Purim, they weren't celebrating about the fact that there's a Jewish girl who's intermarried with the king. They were crying about that. And she was not only a Jewish girl, she was an Eishes Ish. The Gemara says she was still married to Mordechai. She was an Eishes Ish's insult. And the Gemara says he didn't face his points out, he didn't give her a get. He was scared to give her a get. He was afraid that Ahasuerus would kill him. Kill her, he was afraid. So he never gave her a get. It was not only an intermarriage, it was an Eishes Ish's insult that was going on over there. And they still celebrated Purim. We still celebrate Purim Arayam Hazeh, because that's considered the Aschal to the Gula of the Bai Sheni and the Bai Zashlishi. So when we celebrate now, it doesn't mean that we're celebrating from A to Z. We're happy about everything that happened. We're happy about the fact that the first step that's going to lead up to Binyan Bayis HaShlishi is here with us. So Rebbeitzchik said many years ago in Adrasha, he was speaking about, I remember as a little boy, he kept on speaking about Kol Dodi Dofe. That's the title of the book. I remember he was banging on the stem, Kol Dodi Dofe, about the different times that the Rebbeitzchik gave us opportunities to come back there at the source. In the middle of that Rosh part, that I don't think this is printed, and the printed version of Kol Dodi Dofe, he slipped this in the middle. He said that there are those who feel that on Yom HaTzmaut, they don't have to observe the Avelos of Sphira. And Eretz Yisrael, they said that Tzvi Yehuda Kook used to insist that everybody from Yeshiva has to take a haircut and has to shave. Those who didn't shave, take a haircut. He said, whoever doesn't shave, whoever doesn't take a haircut on Yom HaTzmaut, Akoras Kneihem on Sabon. So you see that they're not Maminim, that they don't believe that the Gula is here with us. But Zalveitchik said he doesn't really see that. He doesn't see why, what's the connection. Even if you hold Alad with the Zach and the Medina and the Haskalk of the Gula and everything, he doesn't see why that should be a het to violate Tzvi. Alright, to celebrate to the extent that it's necessary to celebrate Yom HaTzmaut, however you celebrate. Let's say in Yeshiva they're having comedians this year. I don't understand how that's a celebration of Haskalk of the Gula. Having Yoel Sharabi sing, I don't see how that fits in as Chalbi the Gula either. It just doesn't jive. I would have some religious fellows sing as near as the Shabbos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I would have imagined a better way of celebrating as Chalbi the Gula. But let's say if you want to sing with Shivas Shabbos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, religious people singing and thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what he did and praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the future, I can see that to play music on such an occasion wouldn't be so nefel. I can see that. But Rav Soloveitchik saw it, he felt that he doesn't see it. I had to go make chasanas on Yom HaTzmaut, and I had to go take haircuts and that. He didn't think that it necessarily has to be tied up one with the other. And he gave a whole drasha that before every yontif, we always have a little bit of a cheshbon ha-nefesh. He said that on Erev Rosh Hashanah there's a meaning that you have a tainus. Shekhinah, for many generations they had a tainus. Before Sukkot you have Yom Kippur, and before Pesach you have Tainus Chorus. Not too many people face Tainus Chorus, you have the Tainus Chorus, and before Purim you have Tainus Esther. Yeah. And then he said before Shavuos you have this Sirit period. It's supposed to be a serious period of Cheshbon HaNefesh to prepare yourself for the Yom Tov of Shavuos. He said he doesn't really see why it should necessarily lead one to believe that he can violate all the laws, that everything goes on Yom HaTzmaut. Said to the extent that you want to celebrate the Yom HaTzmaut, okay, to go make weddings, to go to haircuts, that he didn't see. Huh? That's what he didn't print on. It's interesting in the drasha that it appears in print anyway. Okay, I just thought I wanted to speak a little bit about Eretz Yisrael.